Well, good evening. It's good to see all of you. Yeah, let's try that again. Good evening. Yeah, there we go. It's good to see you all here in the sanctuary, as well as those of you who are watching online. My name is Peter O'Neill. I am the senior pastor here at Cornerstone Bible Church, and I want to welcome you to our 2025 Missions Conference. Here at Cornerstone, we have a mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ at home and abroad, and we have a vision to do that by finding, folding, feeding, and forwarding people into that mission. And tonight and tomorrow and Sunday, we are celebrating that fourth F, forwarding, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ abroad, globally, around the world. And so tonight we are going to hear from three different missionaries, in a sense, who are part of that process and in whom we're excited to see what God is doing through them. But before we do that, I want to just share with you Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Matthew writes, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" If you didn't see the image that we had for our missions conference this year, it is all about sending people into the harvest field to bring people to Jesus Christ. We are cooperating with the Lord of the harvest, our Lord Jesus, to share the gospel around the world. Did you know now that there are 8 billion people in the world living in over 190 different countries? It's like 193 or 195, depends on who you ask or what you count. Do you know of those 800 billion people, depending on which website you go to, there are maybe only about 800 million followers of Jesus Christ. Some say that number is 2.4 billion Christians in the world, but I believe that number is too high. It includes some people that I don't think are actually saved. But let's just go with that 800 million number and just say that that's accurate for the moment. That means that only 10% of the world have put their faith in Jesus Christ. If that is true, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need Christians to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just here locally in Little Burn or Snellville or Tucker or wherever you might live, but around the world. And that has been something that has been a part of Cornerstone's DNA, if you will, ever since it began in 1971. We want more workers, both locally and globally, to go in the harvest to bring people to Jesus Christ. So my hope this weekend is that this conference inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to be one of those workers and to support the many different workers that we have displaying themselves, what they're doing, and what God is doing through them out in the foyer that you can see either afterwards or on Saturday or Sunday this weekend. There are many workers already in the field, and we are supporting many of them, but more help is needed, as well as more workers are needed as well. So tonight, I pray that you will be inspired by three different speakers. I want to start off by introducing our first speaker. Our first speaker is our own youth pastor, Wilmer Reynoso. Hey, there you are. Come on up, Wilmer. Yes, go ahead and give him a round of applause. Wilmer joined our staff in October 2023 after, what, it was like 2 years of searching for a youth pastor because we're so picky, I guess. But he brought a man of God who's passionate about making disciples of Jesus Christ to us that has been a blessing not only to the congregation, but to me personally. It is a joy to work with you, and your love for Jesus is infectious in a good way. So he's going to share his passion tonight. He'll share with you what the youth are going to be trained to do and how they are going to go out in the harvest field this summer. So, Wilmer, will you please share with us what God is doing through you and the youth at our church?
I will. Feels like that's a wedding type of thing there. Like, yeah, I do. good evening, everyone. Like Peter said, my name is Wilmer Reynoso, and I am the youth pastor here at Cornerstone. This is actually my second missions conference here, so I'm really excited to be here with all of you guys and get to share again about what the youth are going to be doing this summer and what missions it's going to look like for the year this summer. So last year, we went to MFuge, which stands for Mission Fuge. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a recap of what happened there. Fuge, first, is a shortening of this word centrifuge, which is a tool that separates solutions. It has a center in the middle that doesn't move, and the solutions that you put in just start to spin around and get separated. Right? So you put a solution in, it spins, and you separate whatever it's in there. And so in the same way, Fuge's mission is helping kids and teens keep Christ at the center of their lives with everything else revolving around him. He's that immovable center point, and we want to draw closer and closer there to that center. So I have some pictures that I want to show you guys to kind of help you capture that experience that we had there. So the one that you're seeing up there right now was just us, you know, naive. We're like, what's going to happen? What is God going to do here? You know, we're getting ready to get into a bunch of vans and head over to Alabama. And if you could hit that next slide. All right, awesome. So we, here's the video, huh? All right, it's funny. I actually didn't know that was a video. But yes, we had assemblies, right? In the morning, we'd wake up, get some really loud, hype assemblies to get us started for the day. So there was no such thing as being tired. You kind of had to get up and go. We did worship. We sat under teaching. We did really weird, goofy things like silent disco. We won a volleyball tournament. And those are just some of the things that we got to do while we were there, while we were just in the college campus there. You can run through some of those slides. So that you're seeing there was some of the kids. Last year's VBS, there was a very popular dance that I am actually blanking on right now what the name of it was. The manatee. What? I literally danced that. Yes, the manatee. So the kids got to perform it in front of all the other students that were there, and it was a blast. They got to just share what we did here for VBS and get everyone else excited for what was happening. If you can hit that next slide. This was a picture of Sam Cumby during Silent Disco. He's wearing a Batman mask. So of course, it was a lot of fun had. All right, and so this, you start to see kind of the shift that we had. So our days started with just a lot of this energy, try to get us pumped up and excited. And then we would sit under some teaching, get together, do some Bible study, and then we would meet in the really, really hot sun. And we would be encouraged to go from there, because this is what we did right before we went to our mission sites. Right? We got ready to go, we heard what we were gonna do, and then they would send us out. So what we got to do was we got to meet kids at the Boys and Girls Club, and we got to make bracelets with them. We got to play some games with them, get to know some of the people in the community. You see some pictures there of some of our kids getting to talk. And we also got to share the gospel with kids at a park. So there was a funny story there in the sense that when we were first there, the park was completely empty. And when you're a kid and you're a family wanting to bring a kid to the park and you see maybe 20-something people at the park, you usually are on like, yeah, I want to go there. You're just like, let's go to another place. So it was rough at first. It was empty. But some really cool things happened when we did a prayer walk and we walked around and just were like, God, just whatever you're going to do here, even if it's just us just walking around and praying and that's all it is, just do what you're going to do. And so we had some kids show up that we got to talk to. And because we went for so long without getting to talk to some kids, we were like on it. We were like, yes, yeah, hey, what's your name? Who are you? And so it was a really just awesome time to get to see some of the kids here share the gospel using the Wordless book, just sharing and connecting with these kids that were out here. And so it was like an awesome blend, right, of God working on us during that worship time, working on us during the teaching time, working on us during our church group time, and then just immediately being like, all right, go out and now be the salt and light. Go out and do it. And so it comes as no surprise that this year we're going to go to MFuge again. And so this time we're going to be at North Carolina at the Ridgecrest Conference Center from July 14th through the 18th. So last year we took 22 people in total. And this year we were taking 28 people, but I still need to get with Angie on this. It's a surprise. That number jumped to 34 today. So I'll talk with Angie about that. Yes. Yes, it does. So the track that we're going to do is, I'm really excited about this because this location is the only one that has this track. It's called the Evangelism Track, which means that we're going to go to different areas in the surrounding community and organizing activities, games, music, handing out drinks, and having conversations with people. So we're just going to set up shop and invite the kids, invite the families, and get to do that in different parts around the area there and get to actually like engage people in conversation and share the gospel. And so they might even partner us up with a local church to pass out flyers or to help in like church planting efforts or like home church efforts of going around and inviting people in the community. So I'm so excited to see what God is going to do, especially because last year, the big message that I think I personally got from being there was God saying, hey, Wilmer, those plants that you had were very cute. They were very nice. But I have something much bigger than that and much greater and better than what you thought this was going to be. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do this year. So we're launching our yearly fundraising opportunities for the students to earn money for that trip. So again, we're going to have that car wash and the garage sale. We're going to do that this year on Saturday, March 29th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And to sign up for a spot for that, to sell your stuff, you can just reach me out at my email at wilmer@cbclowburn.org. It'll be $10 to reserve a spot, and you can choose to donate all, some, or none of your earnings. And to get your car washed, all you really have to do is show up with a dirty car and we got you. We'll take care of you. And we'll be doing the Hire a Youth fundraiser again, where you would reach out to me with any work that you need done around the house or outside the house, how many people you need, and I'll connect you towards different students and you can make some donations to their spot. And I actually wanted to really harp on that last year we were able to fundraise for everybody. We were to raise all the funds that we needed. So thank you guys so much just for your generosity and for the fact that these kids got to work for their spots and then they got to go and they got to not only have a lot of fun, but also just like grow and actually see what it's like to make an impact in your community for Christ. So thank you again so much for the overwhelming support that you guys show the youth here. And I'm excited already for the youth mission recap to see all the stories that we'll get to share about what God did there and the type of people that we met and all the just the funny stories and the stories of people actually having some really awesome breakthroughs and just some really great time as they grow in maturity in Christ. Let me make sure there's not any more pictures there. Could you? Oh, yeah, there are some more. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. So that was a really probably one of my favorite pictures of there. One of the worship nights, there was an option to either, hey, like you could either go to the church group time and just kind of like, you know, continue on with the day, or you could stay here and just continue to worship. And most of our group just stayed there worshiping. And you see some of our boys up there in the front there just hugging on one another. Then if you can hit that next slide, That didn't stop there. When they got back to church group time and we were just talking and catching up about what God was doing that night, they just wanted to be next to each other and wanted to comfort one another. So seeing that from a bunch of middle school and high school boys, I count that as a win. So let's, thank you.
Thank you, Wilmer. Our next speaker tonight is Lydia Panic. Lydia and her family have been part of our Cornerstone family for quite a long time, and it's such a pleasure to have them here to be a part of our body using their gifts. Lydia is currently attending Georgia Tech, where she is obtaining a degree in material science and engineering, as well as sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe a little bit. So will you please give a warm welcome to Lydia Panic.
Hi, my name is Lydia. Some of you may know me as Paul and Julie Panic's daughter. As Pastor Peter said, I'm at Georgia Tech, and I've gotten really involved with the Navigators student ministry there. And so what NAVS has looked like is just a lot of Bible studies and discipleship and really friendships with people my age who are also really passionate about the Lord and getting to know Him. And that's been just an amazing community to be around and has really helped me put into practice a lot of the Bible knowledge I learned growing up at home and also here at Cornerstone. Growing up as a missionary kid, I've always been around missions, both overseas growing up and then also reading countless missionary biographies from the church library. And my freshman year of high school, I was super excited to finally get to go on a missions trip overseas to help out the Petrus in Greece. As a middle schooler, I had been anticipating getting to do this as a high schooler. Unfortunately, that was the year 2020. So we all know how that did not end up happening. But this year, I have been presented with the opportunity to go with the Navigators on a missions trip to Accra, Ghana, to help out a student ministry over there at the University of Ghana. Every year, the Navigators does a short-term mission trip by region. So all of the colleges within our Blue Ridge-ish area region get assigned a specific missions trip that they can go on. So in previous years, it's been to Hungary, but then this year they switched it to Ghana. So it's really exciting just to be able to be part of that first-time team heading over there. And also, with it being the first-time team, there's still some logistics to figure out with what we're doing. But we are mainly going to help the understaffed Navigators staff at the University of Ghana and share the gospel with students there and help just encourage the students who are there and serve the staff however we can. So I'm really excited to do just something I have a big passion for, of evangelism and getting to share the gospel with my peers, especially other people who enjoy science and math, which is big at the University of Ghana. So I'm just really excited to be able to have the opportunity to go and spread the good news across the world. I have a few slides, if you wouldn't mind putting those up. I hope that all worked out. Okay. On the top slide, you can see, if you can see, sorry, it's a little small, so those are some pictures of just me with the Navigators in a lot of small groups and Bible studies and whatnot, and then on the bottom, just some picture of the University of Ghana, the flag, and then some people involved. We have a picture of John and his wife, Ellie, there, who are the directors, the national directors. He's the national director of the Navigators in Ghana. And then also sandwiched in between there is a woman named Vivian Christmas, who's also a childhood friend of the Kirkwoods, come to find out. So she's heading out she's leading the trip, which consists of her, four other staff members, another student, and myself. So that is, and the trip is from June 1st to 23rd this summer. And which is also to Miss Ivy, Accra, Ghana is where Miss Ivy's sister lives. So that was a really cool connection that I found out. But yeah, so that is where I will, Lord willing, be going this summer to spread the gospel. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Our next speaker tonight is Doug Barclay. Doug is the regional director at Missions India. It's been over 10 years. I can't remember exactly how long. Doug has a passion to advance the gospel in India by strengthening and building donor relationships with churches and people like us. And he's spoken at Cornerstone several times, and it's always a joy to see him. Will you give him a round of applause for coming tonight?
Well, good evening. It is good to be here. About an hour ago, it didn't look like that was going to be the case. I just live down in Peachtree City, so I'm 52 miles away. And every time I looked at my GPS, it kept adding about 3 to 5 minutes of time. And I was on I-85, and about 5 miles south of the 285 interchange, and I see a sign, fire, all lanes closed. So, okay, don't know what that means, but I come up to another bottleneck, I get through that, I look, there's no fire here. Well, that was the accident before the fire, and then there was another accident afterwards. So at any rate, if I seem a little bit frustrated, agitated, that's why. But I don't know, it might be me, but do any of you like Atlanta traffic? It just, I don't know why they call these four-lane parking lots interstates, but at any rate, we're here and we're ready to go. But it's good to see you here, and just your presence here tonight is a demonstration of your care and concern for what God's doing around the world, and He is doing a mighty work. And the thing is, each of us has a role. But in order for us to know what we're supposed to do, we need to know what our role is. And He doesn't need us, but He allows us to participate. He invites us to be a part of His work. But to fulfill our role, to fulfill our work, we need to know what it is, and we need to be focused on doing that. And as we all know, there's a lot of distractions, there's a lot of noise, a lot of chaos in the world today. But we've got to be able to filter that out and be able to hone in on what we're supposed to be doing. And it reminds me of a story that happened several decades ago. The New York Yankees happened to be playing the Milwaukee Braves, and Yogi Berra happened to be the catcher for the Yankees at this time. Now, Yogi Berra is a Hall of Famer, All-Star. He's passed now. And maybe if you're not a baseball player or a baseball fan, or you don't know who Yogi Berra was, you may be familiar. He was also a philosopher. And you may be familiar with some of his quotes. Like, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Or, the future ain't what it used to be. Or, nobody goes there nowadays because it's too crowded. Well, anyhow, Yogi Berra, when he was catching, he would just talk to the batter of the opposing team to try and distract him and to get him off focus of what he was supposed to be there for. Well, on this particular game, a young Henry Aaron comes to the plate. So Henry Aaron gets settled in the batter's box, and Yogi Berra starts chattering to him and giving him some grief and As Hank is in there, Yogi says, "Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You have to turn the bat around so you can read the trademark." Well, pitch comes in, lets it go, and Yogi keeps giving him some grief here. And next pitch comes, and "Henry, you've got to turn the bat around. You've got to be able to read the trademark." And the next pitch comes in, Henry Aaron sends it over the left field fence. So he rounds the bases, coming home, and when he gets near home plate, Yogi Berra is just standing there with his hands on his hips, and as Henry Aaron touches home plate, he just turns to Yogi and says, "I didn't come here to read." So you've got to know what you're doing. And, you know, one of the reasons that Hank Aaron became the All-Star, became the Hall of Famer that he did, is he was able to shut out the distraction. And, you know, there's some spiritual truth to that for us as well. We've got to be able to tune out what the world is telling us and to be able to focus. Just like Hank Aaron, we need to be prepared, we need to be focused, and we need to be ready. And every morning when we wake up, when our feet hit the floor, we've got to realize that we're entering a battleground, not a playground. And we have to be ready to go. Well, God's Word certainly is one instrument that we can use to help us along this journey of life. It's certainly a GPS. Psalm 119 tells us it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And we can take a lot of comfort and courage. And the thing is that the better we know the Word of God, the better we know the God of the Word. And that in and of itself is going to set us up. But as a follower of Christ, you know, we need to be aware. And one of the mandates that we have as a follower of Christ is the Great Commission. Unfortunately, many Christians don't even know what that is. So, back in 2017, the seed company, part of Wycliffe, did a partnership with. Oops, I think I. There we go. The seed company had an arrangement, a partnership with the Barna Research, and they, in a number of questions, but one of the key questions was, have you ever heard of the Great Commission? And unfortunately, 51% of the worshipers, and they defined a worshiper as someone who attended one worship service a month. So that this is where this survey is coming from. 51% of those that were surveyed said that they had never heard of the Great Commission. And there were only 17% that knew what it was and could identify the meaning behind it. Well, Mission India did a follow-on survey back in 2021, and we wanted to do some additional work, but we asked this same question again, and 48% of respondents said they had never heard of the Great Commission. Now, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, how in the world are we going to do that if half the people sitting in our pews on Sunday morning have never even heard of it? Now, I know that's not the case here, but that's the state of the church in America today. That's why things, that's why the church is dwindling. So we have to know what we're called for, and we have to respond in obedience. Well, the Great Commission, as you know, is in Matthew 28, and it's, you know, where we're called to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. A very familiar passage. But the thing is, these words were some of Jesus' last recorded words in all of Scripture. This was after the resurrection and before he ascended into heaven. So don't you think that one of his last messages to his disciples should carry a little extra weight? And so we need to be mindful of what the Great Commission is and how to go about fulfilling it. Well, we need to be aware, though, that, you know, this is not a suggestion. All of us are called and invited to be a part of this. It's a call to action. You know, it's a call to go, to make disciples. And by going doesn't necessarily mean we have to go to a foreign country. But when we go to the store, when we go to work or go to school, we're going. You know, we can be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever we go. And the thing we need to remember, we're doing so and the power and the authority of Christ with the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we don't feel we need to go out and do this in our own effort and in our own strength. Well, if we are familiar with the Great Commission, why are so many Christians unfamiliar and unengaged with what the Great Commission is all about? Obviously, one component is awareness. If people aren't aware, then they're not going to know what they're to do. So if people aren't aware, then how are we going to be reaching the nations without the knowledge of the Great Commission? So I just asked myself, well, if Christians are giving, what percentage of giving is going to reach the unreached? And as it turns out, I got some information from the Status of Global Christianity from Gordon Conwell, and 1.86% of global Christian income. Now, this is global church, global followers of Christ, but only 1.86 of global Christian income is going to Christian causes. So it's not the tithe, and it's even less than 2%. Out of the money that goes to the church, 94% is going to support local ministries, very much needed, but most of those local ministries are in Christian nations. Only 6% of giving goes to giving to the church goes to general missions, and out of that, only 1.7% goes to unreached people. So if the world is not going to do that, that leaves the burden on us. Well, that creates a great imbalance. And if you multiply out those numbers that I shared with you on the previous slide, for every $100,000 of Christian household income, $1.90 goes to unreached people. And now you boil that down a little further. Every $1,000, here again, global Christian giving, every $1,000 given to the church, $1.02 goes to unreached people. So we've got to get the message out and share with others that, you know, the Great Commission says all nations. And as far as missionaries going out into the field, there's a 30-to-1 ratio of those going to reached peoples versus unreached people. So there is a bit of a imbalance there. Well, why India? There's a lot of need locally here. There's a lot of need in the United States. Why India? And that is our only focus. Obviously, the Great Commission is a key component to everything that we do as a ministry. India surpassed China last year as the most popular, or actually in 2023. They surpassed China as the most populous country in the world, over 1.43 billion people now. There are over 2,000 unreached people groups in India, over 350 million people in India have no clue who Jesus is. It's the birthplace of Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, a lot of the Eastern religions that we're familiar with were birthed out of India. And India is also, the Hinduism actually, they worship over 300 million gods and goddesses. I just can't fathom that. That just doesn't resonate with me. But they worship anything and everything. But the thing is, Hindus are very spiritually oriented, so it's easy to drum up a spiritual conversation because they are inclined to be spiritually oriented. So anyhow, but they worship out of fear and superstition, idolatry, not out of love and devotion that you and I do. Well, India is the most unreached nation. There are 2,272 people groups. Over 2,000 of them are unreached, according to the Joshua Project. So India certainly is a land of ministry opportunity. To put things in perspective, India has about one-third the geographic footprint of the United States with four times the population. So, and I know I've shared this slide here previously, but if you would quadruple the population of the U.S. and move everybody east of the Mississippi River, that would give you an idea of what the population density is like in India. This is a map, the global status of evangelical Christianity, published by the International Mission Board. And the dots that you see on this map indicate, the red dots in particular, reveal where there's less than 2% evangelical Christian presence. And you'll notice that on the right-hand side, kind of in the center part, there's a big concentration of red. That's India. So there is a great need there. And we have to remember, there's a difference between being lost and being unreached. You know, people around this community, and I don't know how many churches you have in this particular county or within a three-mile radius of this church. I would imagine it's quite a few, probably dozens. The thing we have to remember is the average American will have an opportunity to hear the gospel message 100 times throughout their life. The average Indian will never hear. Never hear. They have no clue as to who Jesus is. They don't have access to a church, don't have access to a Bible. And yeah, it's just hard for many of us to realize. There's a lot of persecution in India, a lot of resistance to the gospel. And 12 of India's 28 states have anti-conversion laws. And even though India has freedom of religion in their constitution, they still have a number of anti-conversion law states. Their prime minister would love nothing more than to make India a completely anti-conversion country. And he would love nothing more than for all the Christians, all the Muslims to leave. So we need to be mindful and prayerful for our brothers and sisters in India, because it's not easy being a follower of Christ over there. Open Doors is an organization that ministers to the persecuted church. And every year they put out this World Watch List, which is a list of the top 50 countries where persecution against Christians is most severe. And in 2025, I believe it's for the fourth year in a row, India is number 11. And you may not be able to see that, but North Korea is number one, which is not surprising. But with India being number 11 on this list, that means that there are only 10 other countries that have more persecution against Christians than India. So, something to be mindful of. Well, why Mission India? What do we bring to the table? What solutions do we provide? What do we do? Well, once again, we're driven by the Great Commission. Everything we do is through the local church and local believers. We don't send Western missionaries over to India. We train and equip nationals to minister to people in their language and their culture. Unfortunately, because this is live streamed, I really can't share some of the magnitude of the new believers that have come to faith in Christ. But if you'd stop by the table, I'd be glad to share some of those statistics with you. But let me just say that God is doing a mighty work. And where there's persecution, that's where the church is growing. So, okay, our vision is to see India transformed by the love of Christ, and we do that by equipping Indian Christians to plant reproducing churches. Essentially, we are a disciple-making ministry with a focus on church planting, and we do that through three particular strategies. Number one, we have a church planter training program where individuals are very carefully selected, interviewed, screened. They have to come recommended by a pastor. They have to have a home church behind them, just as if somebody from your church family would be going out and serving overseas, you would be the sending church. Each of the church planters has to have a home church behind them. It's a 12-month, pretty intensive program, training program. And it's divided into three modules. The first, in each module has 1 month of classroom training, followed by 3 months of field work. And once they are complete, once they've gone through the program, then they're launched into a lifetime of ministry. We don't plant Mission India churches, but we have partners that are Presbyterian, they're Baptist, they're, you know, as long as our partners follow the basic tenets of evangelical Christianity, then that's what we're looking for. But once again, everything we do is through the local church and local believers. The second leg of our programs include an adult literacy cycle. And this is where adults will come 2 hours a night, 5 days a week, pretty much 52 weeks out of the year. If they stay with the program, they'll be able to read and write at a fifth grade level. That's important because then they'll be able to apply for some jobs. We teach some basic math skills. So when they go to the market, they'll know if they've been cheated or not. We give them some opportunities to earn some income. We teach some basic vocational skills for those that want it. For the women, it might be making soaps or shampoos, maybe making some crafts that they can sell. For the men, it might be simple carpentry skills, bicycle repair, just things of this nature that will help them generate some income once they complete the program. And then finally, we have a children's program. We have a 10-day club where we're reaching quite a few kids. It's very similar to our Vacation Bible School. And $1 will send a child to one of these 10-day clubs. But we also have an after-school program. And, you know, Hindus understand that Christians have good education. So education is the platform here. And these kids will come into the program after school, and they'll spend 2 hours each afternoon. The first half hour they spend doing team building, and they might be playing soccer, might be playing cricket, things that to get along together. Then the next 1 hour they will do school study. They'll work on any homework, get some mentoring, tutoring from the volunteers and the club leaders. They'll learn, make sure they get any assignments that they have. They'll get those taken care of. And then the last half hour, they'll spend on a spiritual emphasis. They'll learn to pray to Jesus. They'll learn Bible songs. They'll scripture memory verses. A lot of things that we might do in Vacation Bible School. So at the end of the year, these kids have a pretty good grasp. And what makes it interesting, you know, I consider our children and youth in America as the church of tomorrow. But in India, children are the church of today. Because when they go home and share with their families and extended families what they've learned in these Bible clubs, then the parents notice the changed behavior of their children, and they want to know what's going on. Something good is happening, and that opens doors to conversation and engaging in some good spiritual conversation. All right, I'd like to show a video now, and I'm sorry for those of you who are watching online. We're going to have to cut the live feed due to the nature and security of the video. So come back in about 10 minutes, and we'll wrap up here. But two families connected by tragedy, reconciled through Christ. What man intended for evil, God used for good, as only He can. This is a tragic story, but it's also one of reconciliation and redemption. And how could that father take in the family of the man who killed his son? He summed it up best. Christ's love compels me. It's interesting to note that that poor, uneducated father in this story had only been a believer for about 2 years. And you know, I'm often asked, well, how do you know people's faith are sincere? Because there are a number of people coming to faith in Christ. This is just one example of the sincerity and genuine depth and care of those who put their faith in Christ. And you know, we're all called to be ambassadors. I'd like to share with you a passage from Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 36, a familiar passage, but this really sums up what we saw in the video. If you love those who love you, what benefit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And I don't know about you, but I don't find it too hard to be merciful when things are going my way. But when things aren't going the way I wish, I don't find it quite so easy to demonstrate mercy. I'd like to just wrap up. Oh, I also wanted to point out that the church planter that established the church in that village had come through our training program. And who knows, it might have been some of the gifts from your church family that made that possible. So that's the kind of ministry you're engaged with when you partner with us. And for that, we're very grateful. I'd like to just close with a couple of prayer requests. You know, we do need to keep our brothers and sisters in India, keep them in prayer. Give our workers the courage to share Jesus' love despite, you know, increasing persecution. There is continued resistance to the gospel. And the primary reason is that Hindus believe out of idolatry and superstition, as I mentioned, but they believe that bringing in these foreign gods, it's going to make their gods mad. So their gods are going to bring evil and harm to them because of Christian God. I ask the Holy Spirit to transform the lives of those who are persecuting believers. Lord, man, may they just be convicted and see what they're doing and the evil and wickedness of that. Ask God to soften the hearts of India's leaders. We're just praying for continued open doors. We had a number of doors that were open to us during COVID, something that we never could have orchestrated. Some of those doors are continuing to stay open, and so we just pray that that would take place. And then the flow of financial resources into India, you may be aware that Compassion and World Vision had to cease their operations because, in essence, the government didn't kick them out, but they cut off their ability to send funds into the country, and it's kind of difficult to function and operate without any financial resources to be able to do that. So once again, thank you all very much for your partnership with us, for standing with us in this Great Commission work and advancing the kingdom of God, a kingdom of light in one of the darkest places on earth.
Doug, thank you for your years of service to Mission India and for sharing stories like this with us, because it shows us that God is not only at work, but we need to pray for our brothers and sisters over there in India who are suffering persecution that we will never suffer here. I heard that you are retiring in March, though, from Mission India, and we are going to miss you.
I'm just transitioning to a new phase of ministry.
Yes, you're not retiring from ministry with the Lord, but you are retiring. And so we wanted to honor you and thank you for the years that you've served Mission India, but also the years that you've served us by coming to our missions conference and us partnering with you, because I always find it a joy for you to come and share what God is doing. You do it. Doesn't He do such a wonderful job at this? I'm always joyful when people use their spiritual gifts and their talents for the Lord. and you do that faithfully, and I know you will continue to do that. So we just wanted to get a plaque that says we extend our appreciation to Doug Barclay for his 10 years of dedicated service in cooperating with the Lord of the Harvest through Mission India. So will you please give a round of applause?
Thank you so much.
If you will stand, we're going to close our service with the song, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will take. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hope, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. Jesus, all the till my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
You guys do such a beautiful job. Thank you for leading us before the throne of God. We give them a round of applause. I know they don't do it for this, but thank you guys. Before I dismiss you with prayer, I want to let you know what's happening tomorrow. I almost said next week. Tomorrow, Saturday, February 22nd. Please come at 5:30 p.m. We have a catered dinner for everybody. It's free, it's good food, and it's going to be something you want to eat, and you're going to get to visit with some of our missionaries and our friends that are here with us. So please come at 5:30 p.m. We will be having it in the fellowship hall, which is directly to the left when you exit the sanctuary. At 6:30 p.m., we'll have again our meet and greet with the missionaries that you can visit out in the foyer. And then at 7 p.m., we will again have worship and speakers from the Caribbean Christian Center for the Deaf. We have multiple speakers as well as someone from our own church that's going to challenge us to go on a trip in October. So you won't want to miss it. It's an amazing ministry that they do there. I was able to go there in November 2022 and got to meet some of these wonderful people. Unfortunately, one of the ladies couldn't make it because our government is so strict and silly with pictures taken on, put on your passport apparently, or something like that. And so unfortunately, Mrs. Bray won't be able to be here, but we have several people here that are going to be speaking to us, and they're also going to lead us in a worship song the way that a deaf person would worship God, which is so cool. They have their own language, and so they're going to teach us how to speak that language, in a sense, with our hands, okay? So let's go ahead and pray, and I will dismiss you, and I just thank you for coming tonight. So when are you supposed to be here tomorrow, though? 5:30 for what? We get to eat. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing both here in our church and around the world. Thank you for Wilmer and his passion to train our youth to make disciples of Jesus Christ by going and baptizing and teaching. That I pray, Lord, that this trip in June or July? July, thank you. To North Carolina would impact our kids for their lifetime, Lord, that it would just inspire them to make disciples wherever they go, wherever they might be. Lord, I also pray for Lydia and her trip that she has in June to Sudan, or to Ghana, excuse me, and what you're doing through the navigators with her there at Georgia Tech. Lord, bless her ministry there. Let her continue to teach people the truth of God's word and also have a tremendous impact as she travels overseas. And last, Lord, I pray for Doug Barclay and Mission India in general. I pray for our brothers and sisters in India who suffer persecution and the death of loved ones. God, please help them survive those tragedies and share the love of Christ, to be compelled by the love of Christ, to share that love and bring people to Jesus, Lord. That's such a tragic story, but also a beautiful one, where the death of this young boy brought many people to Jesus, Lord. And I know we will see him again. We thank you for that truth, but still, this is a hardship for the family and the other brothers and sisters there in the nation of India. God, I pray for them to have strength, for them to be bold, to have courage, and for the government to lessen their persecution on them. God, I pray for Doug as well. Help him continue to do his ministry as he already does, Lord, to inspire people to support Mission India, as well as to make disciples of Jesus Christ, both here in Atlanta and around the world. So God, just be with his people. And I pray also, Lord, for those who are working at the Caribbean Christian Center for the Deaf, God, bless this ministry to those who are in need there, who have families that reject them or make it hard for them, that need to hear and see the love of Christ, to be taught the truth, to also be taught just basic reading, writing, and arithmetic. God, I pray you would bless this ministry and that it would just continue to reach people in Jamaica for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you for everybody who is here and watching online. Lord, I pray that you bring many more tomorrow. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.